Welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, Florida, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker is John Pereira, pastor of Central Florida Bible Church. You may wish to have paper and pencil handy for important information following the message. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info. Now, here's Pastor John proclaiming the strength for today.
Today, we're going to be studying the three stages of the Christian life. I'm glad you turned in to Strength for Today Bible broadcast. We're reading from 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. John writes, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." In the setting of our passage today, John exhorts his readers to observe an old yet new commandment, to love one another. And oftentimes, the degree to which we love and obey the Scriptures determines the level of our spiritual maturity. John had earlier written, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hates his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes." John takes a moment to specifically address various members of his reading audience. And this section of Scripture that we're looking at in 1 John 2, verses 12 through 14, raises a number of questions that we'd like to answer. First of all, question number one that I would raise for consideration is, why did John use the present tense, "I write," which is the Greek word grapho, in verses 12 and 13 when he says, "These things I write unto you, little children." But then when you read in verses 12 and 13 further, he changes from the present tense, "I write," to "I have written," which is in the Greek, in the aorist tense, used in verse 14. To what writing is John referring to in the first instance and its relationship to the second? Then there's a second question that we're going to be answering. What is the meaning of the word "children" in this passage? If you would read the word in the original language in this passage, you'll see that John is using two different Greek words. He's using the word technion in the first reference to children, and then he's using the word paideion in the second. Then the third question we're going to be looking at this morning is this: in what sense is the reference "fathers, children, and young men" to be taken? Is he only addressing those that are literally children, literally young men, literally fathers? What about the young women? What about the mature, older women in the church? Are they left out? Are mothers to be left out of this exhortation? These are good questions that really need to be answered before we get into the challenge and the spiritual devotion in our message for you in our Strength for Today Bible broadcast. First of all, with reference to question number one, when Paul uses the term I write and then switches tenses to I have written, it's simply a simple form of Hebrew parallelism, where the same thing is being said for the sake of emphasis. He's referring to the epistle of 1 John, and he has written these exhortations to them. Secondly, the question of children and the two different Greek words that are used in this passage. There's no real distinction to be made between them. John is simply using two different Greek words for stylistic purposes, and any difference is really not significant. John uses those terms interchangeably. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, notice John uses the term technion, and he says, in 1 John 2 verse 18, he uses the term paideion when he says, little children, it is the last time. And if you have heard, Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby that you know it is the last time. But then I want you to notice he also uses the other term for children, which is technion, in 1 John 2:28. And he says, now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So there ought not to be any significant difference in our understanding of the passage. But perhaps the most impacting question that we need to answer as we look into the text are the terms children, young men, and fathers that John uses in this passage. How are we to understand them, literally or figuratively? I believe that the terms are to be used figuratively. In other words, he's speaking about those who spiritually, some of which are children, some who are young men in the faith, and others that are mature fathers. We're going to be looking, therefore, in our Strength for Today Bible broadcast at the three stages of the Christian life. The Christian life begins with the stage of infancy. John writes, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. You know, isn't it wonderful that you can know as a child of God, even saved today, that you can have forgiveness of sins? You know, babes are often used in scriptures, spiritually speaking, in a positive and also in a negative sense. In a positive sense, Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:2, as sincere babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Here's a person who has just received Christ as Savior and is feeding on the Word of God and growing normally. There's nothing wrong with that little babe being exactly what they are, a babe in Christ. But conversely, when you see someone who claims to have known Christ as personal Savior for years, and yet they're still babes in Christ, we know that there is something wrong. I have a 26-year-old son, the oldest of my six boys. When he was born, he was just 7 pounds 6 ounces and 21 inches long. But what if he were 26 years old, and I introduced you to my son, and he was still 7 pounds 6 ounces? You would think that quite strange, wouldn't you? On the contrary, he's 6'1" and weighs 185 pounds and has matured physically and spiritually and is now involved in a pastoral ministry in Mansfield, Pennsylvania. And we praise the Lord for that because it brings us joy to see physical and spiritual maturity. And that's what John was looking for in the lives of these converts to which he was writing. But many of them were babes, some of which should have been much older. In 1 Corinthians 3:1, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian church and found a similar situation. He said, "I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as babes in Christ." In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers at Galatia, and he said, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." There are some lessons that we can learn. During the infancy of the Christian life, it can be a difficult time for those that are ministering to you as well. It can be a source of anxiety. The Apostle Paul was concerned for those believers in the church of Galatia, and he travailed in birth, seeking to see development and maturity and Christ being formed in their lives. But you know, new Christians, yes, those in the infancy stage can take encouragement from John, because the Word of God says their sins have been forgiven in Christ Jesus. "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." They had also known the Father. They've had fellowship with the Father, which is John's definition of eternal life. And they can be babes in Christ, but they still have eternal life. You know, when a babe in Christ feeds upon the milk of the Word, making good use of the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, remaining in fellowship with the Father, sharing an eternal life, it will not be long before they enter into the next stage of the Christian experience, which Paul calls in our passage today, young men. Are you making that progress from spiritual infancy to young men? Young women for Christ. Likewise, the term young men is used figuratively. It refers to all, male or female, young or old chronologically, who are strong in the Lord. They've overcome the wicked one, it says. Oh, here we have young men. Not that they're perfect or without sin, but their faith have had time to be tested, and they've demonstrated that they are truly born of God. Many listening to my voice today find themselves in that intermediate stage of life. Young men, you've walked with God. You've matured from infancy. You've gone through paths of testing and have used the source of your strength. And you know what that source of strength is? It's the Word of God. Only as the Word of God abides in our hearts can we be made strong. Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." Are you staying, my brother, my sister, in the Word of God, as a child of God? Are you abiding in the Word of God? Are you seeking to follow Him, to stay in the book? How important it is. When the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. Young men, stand strong in the Word of God. But then I want you to notice that the Apostle John then goes further into our passage of Scripture, and he speaks about the stage of full maturity. Here, he likewise is speaking figuratively when he says, I've written unto you fathers. You see, he's speaking to Christians who are fathers here. Individuals, whether male or female, who have reached the highest levels of maturity in the Christian life. Oftentimes, these are individuals that occupy places of teaching and authority in the local church. Individuals who are faithfully counseling and using their spiritual gifts and their experiences that they've learned through the trials of life to help others. The term fathers suggests that they've had experience, having progressed through the earlier stages of the Christian life. Many have even produced spiritual offspring because they are called here fathers. They have led many and given birth to many and led others to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was talking about. He considered himself a spiritual father when he wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 4:15, For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Have you led someone to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a spiritual father, nurturing them, instructing them in the things of God? Here, these who had reached level of maturity that were called fathers, they have known him who is from the beginning. You know, it's interesting, this reference, who is from the beginning you have known, is a reference to Jesus Christ, who is from the beginning. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, likewise speak of Jesus Christ, the one who was from the beginning. But is there a distinction here being made in this passage? You see, the little children have known the Father, it says in verse 13. But then in verse 14, it says that the fathers have known the Son. I believe that the difference there can be explained that John is demonstrating to little infants in Christ Jesus, yes, you can know the Father. But it takes time and opportunity and experience of having walked as he walked that you can truly come to say, I have known Jesus Christ experientially. It takes time, trials and testings, to truly be able to know Jesus Christ intimately. And it also takes the challenge to develop the Christ-like graces that Peter was talking about in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. When he said, besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to your patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they shall make you that you shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that expresses a full knowledge that belongs to those who have known the Son, the spiritual mature fathers who have known the Son. I'd like to conclude with some lessons and challenges from what we've looked at thus far. Lesson number one in conclusion is this. The Christian life has a lot in harmony with the physical life. There are definite changes in life. But only through growth does one pass from one stage to the other. And just like we would be surprised to see someone who was chronologically aged in years still at his birth weight, so it ought to be considered a misfortune if there are believers in Christ who are still babes, having known Christ for years. You know, the Apostle John wrote in his third epistle, verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Can you imagine? What condition would you be in if your physical condition were the same as your spiritual condition? Indeed, many immature Christians would be in the intensive care unit, maybe even the neonatal unit, because they had never, ever grown. They cannot feed themselves. They depend upon the preaching of others. They never are able to dress themselves and put on the armor of God. And they do not do so. They do not follow the paths, and they're not walking as Jesus walked. They're crawling, sad to say, in the filth that so characterizes babies that are uncleansed. The Christian life has a lot to do with the physical life. And you know, when growth does not occur, whether physical or spiritual, it's a sign that there's a serious problem. But you know, there's a major difference, though. Physical growth, a lot of times, takes place without much effort. But that's not true in the Christian life, is it? Oh, no. It takes a lot of effort in the Christian life. Effort of dying to self and yielding to the will and the word of God. But I want you to notice there's some other lessons for us. These verses that we've looked at that have served as the basis for our study and strength for today teach us that there are different stages in the Christian life, and each stage there are unique blessings to be enjoyed. If you're a new Christian, rejoice! Rejoice in the blessings of knowing that your sins are forgiven. But then, as a young man, rejoice because you've overcome the wicked one. And there are unique blessings in having continued to walk and experience the Lord in your life. And then when you are in the highest levels of maturity, having responded and learned the instruction that God has for you, there are added blessings in being able to father others in the faith, discipling and encouraging them, and seeing them grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God grant us the grace needed to grow as we should and enjoy the full blessings of each stage in the Christian life. As you're listening to my voice today, I want to challenge you. If you know Christ as Savior, are you progressing in the things of God? You know, the Christian life is like riding a bicycle. You got to keep pedaling or you're going to fall. It's like an airplane. Even though it takes off, those engines are still thrusting. You cut them off, you're going to fall. How important it is that we progress. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Corinth in chapter 15, when he said, "Be steadfast, unmovable," but notice, "always abounding in the work of the Lord." Because our faith isn't in vain. Have you been taking steps to grow spiritually in your life? Have you been in the Word of God, I ask you today? Have you been going to a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that will feed you a balanced diet of God's Word? Or have you been lackadaisical and sporadic and neglecting the assembling of yourself together? What about the crowd that you're running with? Are they pulling you down or building you up to continue and encourage you and admonish you to grow in the Christian life? You see, we need encouragement. Oh, be with God's people. I'd encourage you, if you don't have a church home of your own, to come and visit us at Central Florida Bible Church. Go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Start even this Lord's Day. And if you're listening to my voice today and you haven't even begun the birth process because you've never trusted in Christ as personal Savior, I'd encourage you to stop what you're doing right now. Bow your head. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and bore your sins at Calvary. Call upon Him. Receive Him as your personal Savior. Turn from your own works of righteousness, which are filthy rags in the eyes of a righteous God, and call upon Him. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags before You. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and bore my sins personally at Calvary. I believe He died and was buried and rose again. And I want to be ready by receiving Jesus Christ. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've made that decision, we have helpful literature to help you to go on in the Christian life. Contact us with the helpful information that Dr. Charles Schaeff will present for you at our Strength for Today Bible broadcast. And I'll see you in God's house tomorrow. And the best will be yet to come.
Thank you for listening to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Civic Club, located in Winter Park, Florida, just 3 traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to other messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. You may also call Pastor John at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaeff inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 o'clock and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.